Coming up on the Panel Scanners podcast, we have reactions to Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Phil has a massive retro review of every issue of The Amazing Spider-Man. It's the Panel Scanners episode 15, and it's happening now.
Spider-Man!
Just the way we like two here. I'm working on that. Hey,
I thought it was fair. You've been bringing them every time, so I thought it was about time one of us did. So
I appreciate that.
I try.
Mr. Phil, before we begin officially, I have a little present for you.
Is that one of the Hero Clicks?
It is a Hero Click. I saw this. You're going to see why I thought of you immediately, and why you're going to know that had to come from me.
That's awesome. These are the most fun little pieces in the world.
Tell the kids at home what you're holding.
I am holding one of the retro Batman Hero Clicks.
Oh my god.
Out of all of us, I'm the only one that plays Hero Clicks, and I've been debating picking up some of these. They're really fun dials. They're not super effective pieces, but they're cool. Do you want me to open it?
I want you to open it.
Let's see.
On the off chance you get,
Now, the chances Batman. Of getting Batman are kind of low.
Yeah, I know that.
We got... probably one of the most ridiculous looking pieces.
Is that King Tut?
That is King Tut.
Oh my gosh, you got King Tut. Who knew that King Tut would get back-to-back mentions in the Panel Scanners podcast?
Well, he has probability control and toughness. Where's his card? Let's see what's going on here. He can, at the beginning of his turn, he can mark a terrain. He can, like, teleport, basically. Probability control, mastermind, toughness, sidestep, perplex. How many points are you? How am I playing you? 65? Really?
Can I see him real quick?
That sounds intense.
King Tut must be making a comeback because he was mentioned last month. Who knew? King Tut, rising in the pantheon of badass Batman villains.
It's not as if
they... Said no one ever.
It's not as if they have a ton of villains from that time frame. So, you know, they're using them. They're using the ones that they have. I can show you the full list after we're done with the podcast if you would like.
I would like to see it.
Because it won't go by.
Oh my gosh, you know what's going to drive me crazy?
What?
I actually know the name of the actor who played King Tut in the 1966 Batman series. I can't think of it. I think it's Bruno something or other.
Why is... There's like all this extra text.
Intro the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Panel Scanners. I'm your host, Johnny Caps. With me, as always, is Phil.
Hey, what is going on, guys?
And slightly absent for this moment is Darren. He will return. So we are talking about comic books right now, going on in DC Comics. We have Villains Month. Villains Month. Featured in the New 52, which is what DC is kind of calling their entire line of comics right now. Well, mainstream comics right now. The superheroes got a month off, and the villains took over. With 52 one-shots, each featuring a unique villain from DC's line. People were hesitant, people were weak, but...
It was Victor Buno.
Ah.
I couldn't think of it.
It was King Tut. All right. People weren't real sure about it, but it plowed through sales
in September. I have to tell you, even as a Marvel guy, I saw the Court of Owls book, and I was debating picking it up, and I thought Johnny might have it, so I might be able to get it.
I've got it, too.
And I still haven't read the Court of Owls stuff, but that's saying from the outside, just because of those covers that I had no interest
in. Aren't they awesome?
They pulled my attention, and that's somebody who doesn't read.
And these are not DC.
Everybody.
With each of the Villains Month books, they released a 3D cover. Now, last podcast, I announced this and said it was going to be really cool, and Darren panned me. Phil panned me.
Yeah, we did.
We mocked you.
Yeah, this but check true. These From, out.
Yes, I have to say.
They are really, really
aren't
cool.
They fantastic?
Which is impressive.
Yes, considering they did 3D in a way that no other comic book has ever done before.
I can concur. Yeah, it's
people
different.
Keep trying to peel away the cover, and you cannot. It no. is... Cardstock 3D.
Were the 3D covers more expensive than the others?
They were $3.99. And props to JC Comics for selling them at
$3.99. Are DC normally $2.99 or are they all $3.99?
And I believe they made a promise at one point. Never over $3.
They did at one time. And they did at one time.
That was pre-New 52.
Before the New 52. Yeah. It's a whole new universe, man. But no, DC, their 3D covers were $3.99. Their 2D covers were $2.99. The 3D covers were in very high demand.
Yeah, they sold out quick.
Props to JC Comics on State Road in Cuyahoga Falls. He kept them at cover price.
Could have made a killing.
Oh, he would. He could have made a killing. And he could have made a lot of people very angry. But he did not. John, the owner of JC Comics, is a stand-up guy.
He is.
It's where I buy my comics every week.
Now it's time to tell him about the podcast.
Yes. Villains Month.
Well, that's his Villains Month. Yeah,
Villains Month was a hit. It sold off the charts for DC. Now, coming up in November, we've got a new book. We've got a Harley Quinn solo book. Harley Quinn, you guys know, as one of the only mainstream DC characters to move from television to comics. And she's been rocking. She has been doing really good stuff in the New 52. There is already controversy related to her books, and DC has had to apologize.
Did Gail Simone already get fired?
No. No. They're not that stupid. They're not going to make that mistake again. They tried to fire Gail Simone from Batgirl, and the fans were like, no. And Gail Simone is still on Batgirl. But in an attempt to find new artists, they set up a panel and said, like, send us one panel for our new Harley Quinn book. It's a depiction of Harley Quinn comically committing suicide. Just, she is sitting in a bathtub holding up with a toaster oven about to drop it into the bathtub, electrocuting herself.
Ha ha!
Yes.
Hilarious.
No. It's Harley Quinn, dude.
She wouldn't commit suicide.
No, she wouldn't. That's why it was a joke.
Okay.
But the industry...
It's weird.
The industry and the suicide hotline and all these people were like, no, that's not going to happen. And they got very angry at DC. And DC finally said, sorry. And that's all they said on the subject.
Wow.
So, I'm not sure what's going on, but that's happening in Harley Quinn number 0. So, we get to see the results of this. Sorry. Alright, let's move on. Darren.
Glee alumnus Grant Gustin is the Flash. I've never seen Glee.
Who? What?
I don't know who he is.
Which dude is that?
I don't know.
I had to suffer through a season of Glee. I'm married. You weren't at that time. I don't know if Maria was ever into that stuff.
Passively?
Passively.
Because her friends were? I don't know who he is.
It's bad. I just don't know which guy it is. Is the kid in the wheelchair? Because that'd be bad.
That would not be Flash.
He can walk. He's faking the wheelchair thing.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know who he is. But
he
I'm
was on whose line is it anyway? All right.
I don't know who it is. I'm a big Flash guy. I'm excited about this. I'm really excited about season 2 of Arrow. I mentioned on previous podcasts that as far as superhero shows have gone, it raised the bar a significant level.
I believe it opens tonight, doesn't it?
I believe it does. Yeah. Of course, I won't get to it until it pops up on Hulu, which will be tomorrow. But yeah, that's actually, as we record this podcast, the season premiere of Arrow season 2 is tonight.
Yeah.
I have since debunked this, but I have Masters of the Universe Lego sets. I have a link to it on on our notes page or on the website. Oh my god, if this needs to happen. You have to just Google Masters of the Universe Lego sets. You're going to go to a guy who created these Lego sets. They look like the Hasbro toys. Like the Mattel toys. They look exactly like Castle Grayskull and Snake Mountain look like they
Castle
were always built with Legos. It's so good. And big news for those of us, like ourselves, who live here in Ohio, the favorite son of comic bookdom, Superman, we are getting Superman license plates for the first time.
Yes.
It's about time that there is some sort of official recognition that Superman is from Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, I need to update my tags here in January. When do they come out?
They're out now.
Yes!
They're out now.
I love Superman plates.
Yes. I mean, and they're going to say Superman, Truth, Justice, and the American Way. The original tag for the license plate was going to be Ohio. No, Ohio. home of Superman, but DC Comics put the kibosh on that, basically saying, no, Krypton is home of Superman.
Yeah.
You are home to the creators. Okay, fine, that makes sense. But DC Comics gave the go-ahead, said, yes, go ahead and throw Superman on your license plate.
That's awesome.
So finally we get some sort of official recognition that Superman is a Clevelander, a Northeast Ohioan, like all of us sitting at this table right here.
Now, do they have to be special ordered, or do they have them at
the DMV?
You're
going to need to special order them, so you might want to think about ordering them.
Yeah, I'll get on
now.
That.
So you might want to think about doing that now. But how can you not want, if you're like us, living in, even if Superman's not your guy.
Yeah, no, he is, definitely.
I can't wait to be rocking.
Got
you
it.
Know, like, I saw okay. that, and I almost started to cry. I'm like, I have to wait until May?
Got it. 2013. Geek up my car a little bit. That'll be good.
Yeah. So yeah, that's exciting. Marvel Phase 2.
Oh man, Marvel Phase 2. So I don't know exactly what's happening, other than the fact that in December we're going to get a new Avengers title. Shocker, right? Sorry, no.
Oh, wow.
That is going to be considered Marvel Now Phase 2. Now, I'm not certain exactly what it is, other than it is the aftermath of what's going on in Infinity. Because if you have read any of Infinity, you know that Earth is up shit creek. Like, there is so much bad stuff happening. Everyone's dying. Superheroes are everywhere. We're not going to come out of this without at least one hero kicking the bucket. Probably someone that we don't really care about. But, I mean, it's been brutal. It's been absolutely brutal. So that's what Phase 2 is. Kind of like Phase 1 was the aftermath of Avengers vs. X-Men. Phase 2 is going to be after Infinity. Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, Marvel is dropping the axe on a couple of the books that I have been reading, which I'll get into a little bit more when I get to Stick Stuck Pick. But Scarlet Spider is being canceled on issue 25. The upside to them knowing ahead of time that it's going to be canceled is that there will be a clean ending. And Venom is also going to be canceled, I want to say, in the next issue, 42. It's going to end the current storyline with dealing with the offshoot of the Venom symbiote.
And at the absolute worst time for you, because it finally got good and you
it was
stuck with it
good.
For so
I
long.
I did stick with it, but I mean, I understand it's a natural drop. And the reality is, I know they're going to release a superior Venom book. It's just who is going to be in the symbiote. There are lots of things going around with it being potentially Otto Octavius somehow. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Next thing that is canceled, or potentially canceled and more than likely canceled, is the whole of the Ultimate Marvel Universe.
Really?
They have been trying to get rid of that for
Galactus,
years.
Galactus, dealing with a lot of this aftermath of Age of Ultron, Galactus from the Marvel U has found his way into the Ultimate Universe and is just whooping everybody's ass.
That's beautiful.
So Galactus seems to be destroying the Ultimate Universe. The thing with that is there is one character in the Ultimate Marvel Universe that people love.
Miles Morales.
Mm-hmm. For multiple reasons. One, Bendis made an amazing character. I mean, I've been raving about
you
Ultimate
have.
Comic
yeah.
Spider-Man.
And by the way, I had one of the few I heard that was willing to give it a shot initially.
Yeah.
You usually heard a lot of angered fanboys about that, but you were on board right away.
I mean, because I read all of Ultimate, and I saw where it was going, and I see how Miles was brought in. Miles, he's just perfect. I mean, he's a good role model for mixed young men, especially African-American / Latino. And he's just wonderful. And he's not a stereotype. And that's the problem in comics. Lots of times when you get a different race, you get lots of stereotypes. The only times Miles has even spoken in Spanish is when he was just randomly speaking to a relative. They don't mix in like random, like, ay caramba, or some crap in the middle that makes you go, really? Come on, man. Like, he seems like a real New Yorker.
Nice.
And they're aware of that. So issue 2 of the miniseries that's following Galactus showing up, or actually Galactus being there, it's called Cataclysm. Issue 2 of Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, it's been teased that says Miles Morales finds his way to the Marvel Universe. So they're teasing that somehow Miles is going to get into the Marvel Universe. And I have a theory. There is a comic right now called Mighty Avengers. We're only two issues in, and it's Infinity. I don't actually pick it up, but I've read it. And there is a random character called Spider Hero. They didn't show who it was, but they had someone have a conversation with him. And he has like a rainbow-colored Spider-Man outfit on, and he's not excited about being in it. I have a very, very slight inkling that might be Miles. We will see. But they're saying that regardless, they're going to try to save Miles Morales, even though the universe is tanking.
Wow. You know, I remember when that, it would be early 2000s, I, being a DC Nationer, loved the Ultimate Universe. I was reading the Ultimate Spider-Man. I was reading the Ultimate X-Men. I started to read the Ultimate Avengers, I think, because the Ultimate Avengers, if I remember correctly, came out about the Ultimates. Okay, came out about 2 years into the Ultimate Universe, and that's when it sort of jumped the shark.
Well, it wasn't that it jumped the shark. The whole idea behind the Ultimate Universe was it was supposed to be a lack of continuity book where anybody could pick it up and just enjoy.
Yeah, it was almost like the starting again.
Is how many years are we into it?
Well, right now, and then they've rebooted the entire universe.
Well, they rebooted it, but they didn't reboot it. Ultimatum.
I don't know if you're in the same case.
Well, Ultimatum. World got flooded. People,
they've been trying to destroy their Ultimate Universe for a very long time.
And it wasn't that they were trying to necessarily destroy it. They're just trying to find a good jumping off point to make all the continuum of the universe come together. And that was a good place to do it. But the thing is, reading Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, and that's been the only thing I'm reading, every time another Ultimate comic book came in, it kind of lost its feel.
Muddy the waters.
Well, because that book, honestly, if they nuked the Ultimate Universe and they just let Ultimate Comics Spider-Man run in that universe, that book would be solid because it would be a universe for this kid to run around in. Versus the alternative, which is, what are we going to do with two Spider-Mans in one universe? And neither one is actually Peter Parker.
Speaking of which...
Go ahead, buddy.
Speaking of which, your comic, Superior Spider-Man, got panned this week on The Big Bang Theory. Not only for concept, but it got compared to Freaky Friday.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
They obviously are not reading it. And yet another reason why I do not like Big Bang Theory. But I don't even want to get into that.
I gotta give it a shot.
Well, I do also have to say that originally, when the Ultimate Universe was introduced, mm-hmm. I was reading Ultimate Universe. And that was Marvel's attempt to regain continuity. To structure their universe.
You know, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, Marvel has always had the people were always kind of banged Marvel for saying, you know what, you killed Mephisto in this issue, and then he's showing
up
in this issue.
He shows up over here, right.
Well, that's the thing. They're really bad. Like, if you read one title, and you stick with one title, continuity tends to stick, and I'll get into that a little bit more in a little while.
Okay.
Very good.
But I think as a whole, it's bad. Yeah. Regardless, just a couple more things I have. Just in video game news, when it comes to comic books, we have two comic book games coming out at the end of this month.
Injustice?
No. Injustice is out. There's skins coming out for Injustice.
Right. The skins is what I'm looking at.
But two brand new games. Number one, Lego Marvel. Comes out the 22nd of this month.
Nice.
It's going to be voice acted, but it looks phenomenal. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's something you can play with your kids. It's something you can play with your friends. I don't know if you've played a Lego game before. Those things are a blast.
They are awesome.
And it just doesn't matter. There's real no difficulty, but it's enjoyable. It's a story, and you can play it with your kids.
I go all the way back to Lego Star Wars, the very first
one.
Yes,
very good. And on top of that, a prequel to one of the best-selling and best Batman games
ever. Oh, I can't wait for this.
Arkham Origins kicks off on the 25th of this month. Now, just be forewarned, it's a different group that actually made the game. So it might be a little bit different, but from what I'm seeing from all the previews, it looks awesome. And the last bit of actual comic book news, and I just saw this because I was thumbing through my books, I wanted to remind everyone that Marvel Knights has returned, and it's dark, and it's messed up, and I'm excited. Because Marvel Knights was always one of those books that you could read. It's out of the continuum. Peter Parker is Spider-Man in it, but I'll get to that. Marvel Knights, if you ever liked it, maybe it's a time to look at the Marvel shelf a little bit.
Are you going
to
read it? You're gonna
pick I already have the first Spider-Man, and I'm planning on picking up everything.
Have you read it already?
I will get to it later. But since we're so stuck on Marvel, they do also have a TV show out.
A couple weeks ago, Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started.
Have you seen it? I've seen the first two.
I watched all three.
I've seen all three.
So should we not talk about last night's episode?
I haven't seen it.
Do you not want want us to ignore that it existed? Because it was the best episode out of the three.
I want to say, if that's true, if that's true, that it's the best episode,
you're right.
Then I have to say, it's not really hard to do, because I felt like the first two episodes were extremely bland. Like, nothing happened. I know the big, and everyone was talking about how, oh, it was awesome that, you know, Samuel Jackson showed up in the end of the second episode. I'm like, to do what? Be dad?
Yeah.
It was totally pointless.
That's Nick Fury, though.
It added nothing. Like, if you're going to have,
as seen,
because they have teased, but that some of these people are going to show up at some point. They haven't said yes, but they haven't said no. So, you know, like, let's come on. Let's be honest with each other. First of all, have you looked at the ratings? Not good.
Last night's whooped ratings. That's it.
Well, it's winning its time slot, but they're really disappointed because it did huge business the first week, and it totally tanked last week.
But third week brought it up.
Did it?
It did.
I heard it stayed where it was.
It brought it up.
Second week. All right.
They it's destroying everything else in its time frame, which is good.
Well, yeah, but for something that they said this is going to be the number one show by far. Everyone was predicting that this thing was going to be. I mean, it's kind of like saying, wow, this football team is stacked. They're winning every game by 40 points, and they're barely beating crappy teams.
But the thing is, just an analogy. The number one show for years has been NCIS during that time.
Yeah, never seen it, so.
Exactly, me either. But last night, they, like, destroyed it. And I mean, it has gotten significantly better. I think the issue was the first two episodes, which Marvel is known to do. It's exposition. It's creating the character. I hated Sky, who's like the main character. Let's be honest. Coulson and Sky. I hated Sky. At the end of last night's episode, I actually like her. And that's saying a lot, because I wanted to strangle that girl.
Yeah.
Because I was like, so you're going to ruin the show that I've been looking forward to.
For me. Now, I have to say. Now, you guys are more into Marvel than I am. I love Marvel, but I've never been like huge into Marvel. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to keep going with it. I'll give it a few more episodes, but, you know, you're more inclined to stick with this. Like, you would give Arrow three episodes before you, yeah, I'm not that into it. Where I'm going to go and give Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. four or five episodes ago. All right, you know what, I gave it a shot. But especially since, you know, they oversold Josh Whedon's involvement, I think.
Isn't it his brother, Jed Whedon?
It's not Josh Whedon.
Yeah, it's Jess. It's Joss.
No, he's J-O-S-S. The producer. No, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, no, no. Okay.
No, it's, that
Jed.
Way, no.
It's Jed who's actually
it
doing
is Jed. It. It's Jed and Marissa.
And you could tell through the writing, because the great thing about Joss Whedon scripts and Joss Whedon episodes has always been he takes a formulaic derivative framework and just adds these relationships. Firefly, very derivative of things we've seen before.
Oh, Firefly.
The Avengers was extremely derivative, but he just managed to get, like, in the script, he managed to get these relationships out. None of that was evident in the first two Marvels.
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like because remember also that we got Firefly in a really weird order. We didn't get it in the
I didn't see
order.
It when it first ran. Right.
That's the thing. When it first ran, you got that same type of feel to it.
Yeah, but that's not what's happening canceled. Here with Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The thing is, and I agree. The first episode was a bit weak, and I was like, son of a bitch. Second episode was even weaker, and I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. But I was like, all right, third episode, because my wife is the same. She was like, I'll watch these things with you, but it better get good. And last night, she's always on Pinterest. I saw her put her phone down and start watching.
Okay.
And that right there was my moment of... Because, like, I was geeking out, because it's still Marvel Universe, and I'm like, oh my god, they're talking about this stuff, and this is so great. And then I look over, and I see her put her phone down, and I'm like, and it got to commercials, like, are you actually starting to like this? She's like, I want to watch it now.
I have to say, I hope that's true, because I was watching this. You know how I like to insert characters into other things? I'm like, man, Green Arrow would have had this wrapped up 15 minutes ago. And if you watch, The Arrow television show. He is the ultimate badass on television right now.
He really is. I need to watch the first season.
I'm sure it's going to have its high moments like any television show, because this is a full season, 22 episodes. You know they have to give this thing at least until the next Avengers.
And I think the thing is with it too, Coulson...
I would give it 3 seasons at least.
Coulson came out kind of weak. I wanted to applaud you, by the way, because you called one of the reasons why they said Coulson actually gave... why he died in the Avengers movies, that Nick Fury did it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that's the real reason. I think he died, and I don't think this is Coulson.
Then you can see that through Ron Glass's character and Maria Hill. Well,
and that's the thing. Like, just watching it, and my theory right now is he's some sort of robotic thing.
My theory is that he didn't go to Tahiti, he went to Valhalla.
Thank you.
Or something like that.
Top magical shelf. Place.
Regardless, we have Coulson, and the first episode, he seemed very robotic as a character. Second episode, he started to seem more like a person. Episode 3, he felt like the Coulson from Avengers.
I hope so.
So, that's the thing. I think a lot of those first two episodes were obviously pilot leading into whatever. I think from episode 3 on, we're going to start seeing... because the teasers for next week's episode look phenomenal as well.
I haven't seen the teasers.
I am staying positive. I'm not saying it's the best show ever.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination.
I'm not saying it's the best Joss Whedon show ever.
No. But it's a fun... it's been a fun action show that I'm giving it this first season. And hopefully by the end of the season, I'm looking forward to a second.
I think a second is pretty much guaranteed.
Well, I think they're going to let this thing go until the next Avengers. And you know, the stunt they'll pull is like, oh, the ratings are dipping. Hey, look who's coming. It's Captain America.
Hey, look, Robert Downey Jr. is here. What's up? And I mean,
it's Disney. They're allowed to do whatever the hell they want.
We'll see. And I have much higher hopes. If we had done this podcast last week like we were supposed to, you would have had a totally different response from me about the show. I would have had much lower expectations.
You know, I want it to be good because I'm a big, you know, I'm a fan of the genre, Marvel or DC. I want these things to be good because, you know, that means that we're just going to keep getting more.
Do you know what it kind of feels like to me? And I don't know if either one of you have watched it. It kind of feels Torchwood-y.
I can see that. Yeah. I can totally see that. I could also see it feeling Firefly-y.
Well, yeah.
We need a Simon Tam, but we don't have a Simon Tam. And we have Sky as River. We have Jane as, you know, the idiot musclehead guy.
What you don't have is Malcolm Reynolds. And that's supposed to be Coulson. Coulson. It's not the same thing.
Regardless, I have hopes. As the Marvel guy, I think I had the highest hopes. And I'm probably a little more forgiving just because I've forgiven Marvel for a lot worse.
I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And you're going to give it at least one more episode then?
Oh, I'll probably give it more than that.
Okay.
But it's also when I'm going to be able to watch it, because I watch it with my wife and she's like, really? Because Arrow's much better than this. I'm like, yeah, but you have to go back and, like, the first episode of Arrow was outstanding. And then it kind of valleyed for a little bit. And then it picked up.
I actually dropped Arrow. And then picked it back up after I saw the season finale, which was
phenomenal. That finished strong.
I'm sorry to bring this up, Darren, but did you see, since we're talking about comic book TV shows, that they're making a Smallville comic?
Oh, it's been out for a long time.
Yeah, it's been out for a
long time. I actually reviewed it the first couple of...
because they were talking about something. I didn't get
to read it. Smallville season 11.
Yeah, because Newsarama is blocked at work. So
yeah, I reviewed it the first couple of episodes.
Okay.
Speaking of Smallville comics, which this has nothing to do with... No, I did a bit of a different spin on the retroactive review, as I had not read Peter David and Martin Edgeland's run on Aquaman. So I eBayed the first 8 issues, just kind of on a whim, coming up with something new that I wanted to do for a retroactive review. The duo took over the title in 1994 in hopes of redefining the character without altering the legacy and tradition. Though they did famously alter Aquaman's look by having his hand devoured by piranha during a battle with a villain named Charybdis.
I love that.
That's right. Devoured by piranha and a villain named Charybdis. Okay. The reason I ended up wanting to do this is because I think I mentioned on one of the previous podcasts, I was given as a gift my first piece of original art, and it was Martin Edgeland's Aquaman from that first 8 issues of Russ.
Yeah, you did mention that.
So I had to say, well, okay, I really have to check it out now. I've always wanted to. And this is the famous version of Aquaman over the last 20 years where his hand was placed with a harpoon. He eventually loses his shirt, grows a beard, longer hair, which is how artists added edge to any character in the 90s and, well, ever. The story does pick up a bit ambiguously as Aquaman appears to be deposed from his kingdom in Atlantis. And there's no explanation to this for whatever reason, but the overarching theme is clearly a comment against environmental destruction and the inherent dangers, and it also kind of hints towards the coming assault that Aquaman is going to lead against any who threaten the ecological safety of his marine friends. In the first eight issues, we've got a few cameos. The first eight, we have Superboy and Lobo, the latter of which, in the 90s, was the poster child for badass comic characters. Lobo, never been that huge of a fan of the guy running, I'm the main man, you know, whatever. My shining moment for Lobo was when he showed up in Superman the Animated Series and got totally got his butt kicked, as well he should. And he engages Aquaman, in a bare-knuckle brawl, which is decidedly won by Aquaman, just so we can be clear on that. I love Martin Edgeland's art, by the way. With very long and angular limbs, Edgeland does an adequate job of depicting characters interacting underwater without resorting to the constant use of, like, the wave distortion or bubbles everywhere. He's kind of who I always thought that Rob Liefeld was trying to be back in the 90s. Edgeland's art is what kind of all 90s comics were trying to look like, whether they were inspired by him or not. 90s comic art sort of looks like a state. You know what? Here's what I was going to say. Go ahead. I mean, people know that we have plastic in comics. Follow me on this little... I always kind of felt like 90s comic book art is sort of like stage acting in the movies. Do you know what I mean? If you go back and you watch some of those old 40s movies, even the 30s movies, if you go back and look at some of the 30s movies, actors from the stage... You know, actors from the stage in the 30s would come on, and they're still stage acting on film. That's kind of how I felt about 90s comic art. They have very big gestures, very demonstrative emotions. And it's kind of like when you say, hey, Sam, you see where that went? No, sir, I didn't. You know, that's how they're always talking in those 30s movies. That's like 90s comics art. It's like stage acting for film. Yeah. Peter David is one of the titans in the comic book writing field over the past three decades. As evidenced by his Aqualad, who is a very worthy sidekick and not set up for cheap laughs, as you might expect from someone named Aqualad. Additionally, I loved his hints toward the larger Atlantean mythology and the exploration of Inuit mythology in one beautifully crafted side story that eventually delivers a huge reveal. We almost lost Peter David, who suffered a severe stroke in December 2012. Excellent. He seems to have made a near-complete recovery. I don't think he's currently writing anything in the comic book industry.
He's not.
But I think we'll get him back, I hope.
I'm a big Peter David fan.
Incredible Hulk. He did Incredible Hulk for a long time.
And I followed his X Factor for a very long time.
Yeah. I cannot claim to have been an Aquaman fan. I always preferred many of his Justice League compatriots to him. But I've always found Aquaman bashing by comic enthusiasts to be a bit curious. As anyone who controls over 75% of the Earth's surface cannot be underestimated. I know Johnny has told a joke on this very podcast about Aquaman. Mm-hmm. And by the way, being able to freely explore the deepest, darkest depths of the ocean and have symbiotic relationship with all her creatures sounds pretty freaking badass to me. Yeah. And if you don't believe me, search YouTube for Aquaman's finishing move from Injustice Gods Among Us. Maybe the greatest finishing move to any video game ever, and that's not debatable. When you see Aquaman's a little, you know, who's got the worst power, go YouTube that. That is like, you're like, okay, yes, you're, wow. All right, so I gotta say, I really enjoyed that run of Aquaman. It was nice. I never read Aquaman, but he's always there, you know? I always kind of liked him. And you know, every time he swims, he's got like, dude had a fleet of great white sharks, okay? And you're like, I'm not going in there. He's going to win this
fight. I guess my only real question about it all is you brought up Lobo. Is Lobo just really mad that Kiss kicked him out of the band?
He must be. The Kiss Army.
Hey, yeah. Hey.
And which is weird.
Oh, are you Kiss Army?
Hey, no. Lobo's cool.
Which is weird.
No, this because actually, there's a lot actually, of people that have been
kicked
up,
out of the Kiss Army.
That comes up in my in my next section. All Lobo right, is actually okay. featured in my next section.
Well, now, so. I have to say, nice little retro review. But now for the granddaddy of all retroactive reviews.
Real quick, I have something to say.
Okay.
Because I'm the quarterback. this 90s with Peter David and this current with Geoff Johns was the only time anyone has ever cared about Aquaman. Right here, this was one of the best Aquaman stories ever told.
Well, I think for so long, he was just relegated to backup or supporting character.
He really was.
And Aquaman. Yeah, and you know,
very, very featured.
Let's be honest. What really did the damage to Aquaman was probably the Super Friends television show, all he did was go, "I have to talk to my marine friends." You know, I mean,
that's where
Aquaman became the punchline superhero. Where,
yeah,
I mean, he's. You know, they went to great lengths to dispel that myth. I mean, it's like, we gotta change his look, let's give him a beard. No, he's gonna lose his hand. I was a little bit disappointed in how he loses his hand. I'm like,
couldn't he talk to them and be like, please don't eat my hand?
It would have been better.
He was distracted, alright?
Yeah, that's another thing. But my other thing was like, if he's gonna lose his hand, it should have been something like, you have two choices, you lose your hand or you die. Fine, gram, he cuts his hand off like,
Would have been Aquaman.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Aquaman's a badass.
I wonder. You get the sense that in those first couple of issues, Martin Edgeland and Peter David had a little bit of a mess to clean up before they really got into there. There's a side story in there with the Inuit mythology, and it also deals with Darkseid's minions. Really cool. Really cool stuff.
But I think there are frequently messes to clean up after different writers and different series. And believe me, I know. After reading over 730 issues of Spider-Man. That's right. There may only be 700 issues of Spider-Man. But you forget about point ones. You forget about the fact that I backtracked and read Maximum Carnage. You forget that I read all of the Superior Spider-Man that went on top. I know my Spider-Man. And every once in a while, when I got to a series break, because in the 90s, let's be honest, it was like getting bent over and fisted by somebody you don't know. It was bad. That you would have three issues.
Said everyone about every comic they read in the 90s.
Because the reality is, reading this, because my idea was to read only Amazing Spider-Man. That's what I said when we were coming up to issue 700, remember? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to read Spider-Man. You guys are like, okay. I'm like, no, I'm going to read Spider-Man, like Amazing Spider-Man. And I did it. I think it took me a little over a year. And honestly, the beginning was really weird. And I think if anybody goes back to the very, very beginning of any comic book run, like the 60s, the 70s, you'll notice the lack of continuity. There's a lack of desire. And there is always a beginning, middle, and end, and a shitload of text. They told a whole story in every single issue. It is hard to say that now when we get a book. And I think that was the coolest part starting at the beginning. It wasn't super exciting. You didn't get a ton of super big action. You got really cheesy things said. And it was just, it was kind of fun. It's kind of like going back and seeing Adam West as Batman. You can love Adam West as Batman, but you know he's not a badass. Because he's just not. Like, he is, but he's not. Like,
he won every fight he was involved in, just so you know.
And that's the thing. He did.
Hit people and so hard, he onomatopoeied them.
Pow! Oh, very good. I like that, English teachers. Regardless, starting back then, there's just a moment that you connected with Peter Parker, and you love Peter Parker. And the thing is, if you start with just Amazing Spider-Man, you don't see Uncle Ben die. Uncle Ben is already dead by the time you start Amazing Spider-Man, because he died in Amazing Fantasy. Yeah. The problem is, with reading Amazing Spider-Man from the beginning, you will see that death scene at least four times.
Yeah.
Because they go back over it. So they're sure. They actually reprint Amazing Fantasy number 15 in at least two issues. So I skipped it the second time. But the first time, you know, I read it and I'm like, I'd read it before, of course. I'm a big Spider-Man fan, and it's really interesting. You really connect them, and to think that something that terrible happened in comics that far back, and I mean, it's terrible. Uncle Ben is the character that stayed dead. Don't get me wrong. Uncle Ben has come back, but not as, like, a true character.
Like, in
a through memories,
form.
Through dreams, and through conversations with Peter when Peter was losing his mind. And
that just happened recently, didn't it?
It's happened more than once.
You're right, right.
Believe me, I'm right, I know. Okay. the thing is,
you are the authority.
You see Peter go through so much, and you see him fall in love with Betty Brant, which is really funny because people forget that him and Betty dated for a while. Once he and Betty broke up, it was the Gwen Stacy.
She's the secretary, right?
She works for Jonah Jameson.
But didn't he date her before she worked there?
No, he met her there.
You're right.
Yes, I'm right.
I'm sorry.
Don't challenge me, sir.
He's the authority.
Regardless, he dated her for a while, and they became friends, ultimately, because he couldn't separate himself from being Spider-Man. And that's what haunts him through the whole thing. And I think the reason why I've always connected with Peter is because there's always something that haunts him. There's always something that he carries with him. And it's the death of Uncle Ben. And because Uncle Ben died and he feels that it is his fault, not just because he loves his Aunt May that he takes care of her so well, I think because he's so guilty that he took away her husband that he does so much for her. Now, without killing tons of time, because I could talk about this for hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, I spent over a year reading these, and there's a lot to talk about. There are a couple key moments. There's the very beginning, which is when you get to know Peter, you get to know his family, you get to know his friends. You fall in love with Flash Thompson, you fall in love with Betty Brant, you fall in love with Gwen Stacy. You find out that they mentioned Mary Jane in issue 3. Like, and you don't see her until much, much, much later. Because Aunt May is always trying to set him up with the girl next door, and he thinks she's a ghoul. Because why wouldn't you think that if your Aunt May's trying to hook you up? And then there's that key moment when you hit the jackpot tiger when she walks in the door. And it's all those moments that you, especially reading Spider-Man, because I mean, when I was reading, I got the 80s and the 90s growing up. And, you know, Mary Jane was already part of it. Like, you don't see that. You don't see all those moments that Peter becomes a person, that Mary Jane is a person. And Mary Jane is bitch when you meet her. Like, I don't like her. She's super disco crazy girl who's always at the party, and I don't care, and Peter Parker, let's just hang out, and it's cool, buddy. And it's weird. And then fast forward a lot to like the 90s, when it's just a clusterfuck of doom, where you have all these clones everywhere, and every other issue is part one or part three of a three-part series that takes place in one of the other issues. And I missed a lot there. And honestly, part of me wishes when I decided to tackle this, I decided to read all of Spider-Man, including Spectacular Web of Peter Parker, and just because I would get everything. And I might go back and read those series. They're shorter. They're only a few hundred issues, which I know sounds like a lot, but after you've read over 700, it's not that big of a deal. So you have that. You have the 90s. And then you have past that, where Peter is recuperating. You go into Civil War and that moment where he unmasks himself. And the fact is, after you read everything up to Civil War, when he talks to Aunt May, and because at this point Aunt May knows he's Spider-Man, because she knew for a little while. He demasks and he knows at that moment he's putting everyone at risk. And you go, oh my God, you're screwing up, Peter. What are you doing? And then you go from that to Brand New Day. Which a lot of people are mad about because I don't know how familiar you are, Darren, with Brand New Day.
Not at all.
But what actually happened was after Civil War, everybody knew Peter Parker was Spider-Man. Kingpin calls a hit on Peter Parker. Peter grabs Mary Jane to dodge a bullet. And Aunt May gets shot. Aunt May is hospitalized. She's probably going to die. He cuts a deal with the devil.
Mephisto. Who's a Ghost Rider character, right?
Well, he's a Marvel character. Okay, I mean, okay. All-encompassing, yeah, Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider more so. But
yeah.
Cuts a deal with him. And he says, I will give up all this if you'll save Aunt May. And he's like, you know what? I'll do that. But the thing you have to give up is Mary Jane. They talk about it. Obviously, Mary Jane's torn. He gives it all up. But when it all happens, Mary Jane grabs Mephisto right beforehand and whispers something in his ear. They don't tell you what she ever says, which is sweet. I think, and a lot of people theorize this, that she said the one thing that she wants to remember is that he's Spider-Man, so she can always be there to take care of him. Because when they do a relapse in Brand New Day of all the stuff that goes on, because Civil War still happens, Peter Parker still unmasks, but he has Doctor Strange, Mr. Fantastic, and Tony Stark do a spell that wipes everybody's memories, but he drags Mary Jane in with him. And that's actually what ends their relationship, because the marriage never happens because it gets broken and he doesn't make it to the wedding. But he pulls her in to the ball that makes it so he remembers everything. So she can remember too, so they can keep their relationship going. Because he doesn't think she should not know. Because if he lets anyone know, the whole world can know again. And that breaks the spell. And I think that's what she wished. And the sad thing is, going into 700, going to the end of it all, you see Peter Parker and Mary Jane's relationship never like connects. They never hit the road at the right time. Everything always happens. Actually. And it is. Because you know, and everyone always argues that Gwen Stacy is his love, and she is. But Mary Jane has been there for so much.
Yeah.
And they keep almost connecting, and they're just about to connect in 700. And that's when it all happens. And the thing is, and everyone's so mad about the Doc Ock thing, and everyone was so mad about the Doc Ock thing, it's almost beautiful. Because at that moment, Doc Ock takes advantage of all that. He never rapes Mary Jane, as everyone is arguing that it was a rape. Because she knows. In going into Superior Spider-Man and all that stuff, where you see the people that really care, Carly Cooper, who was a cop that he started dating after everything went down, and he dated his roommate and all kinds of crazy stuff. I left out a lot, obviously. Carly Cooper and Mary Jane, the people that are closest to Peter, they know something's up. And everything about Superior Spider-Man, every moment of it, all of it is so much better because I know there's a history there. If you love a character, I highly, highly recommend, however possible, biting the bullet, going back to the beginning and seeing where it all came from. And that's when you guys say stuff about continuity and stuff. And when I went at the beginning of this and said, if you read one title the whole time, continuity exists. And even now with Superior Spider-Man, there's continuity. Granted, there's some sparkled, messed up things because of Brand New Day, but they cleared up what was real and what wasn't.
That was beautiful, man.
Definitely, definitely.
You're getting emotional, too.
It was.
That's why, you know, this is why we're here.
I mean, it was.
Because we do have this emotional attachment to these characters.
It was a year of my life, and that's why I laugh at your 8-issue retro review.
Mm-hmm.
I would read 8 issues in a night because I would be so attached to what was going on. I would love everything. And I mean, it was a wreck sometimes. And there was a point there that Peter Parker actually got his abilities because of a spider goddess.
Yeah, I remember that.
But every moment of it, I was still like, oh my God. And the beauty, which is what they're dealing with now in Scarlet Spider, was the Grim Hunt, where you actually saw why Kane and Kraven have an issue.
So what are you reading now, man?
That is why I was actually going to Scarlet Spider, because of the books I'm sticking with. Scarlet Spider, like I said, I'm dropping because it's being canceled. I'm sticking with it. It's great. I would say I'm stuck with it, but it's going away. And seeing Kane fight Kraven and knowing their history, it's emotional. Superior Carnage I'm sticking with just because there's one more issue. It ended up being a lot more about the Wizard than Carnage, which was weird, because Carnage isn't even Cletus Cassidy. Cletus Cassidy's still lobotomized from Minimum Carnage. So, whatever. I'm sticking with Superior Spider-Man team-ups. The reason that I'm just sticking with it right now is the normal writer, Yost, isn't doing it right now. Chris Yost. Rhodey's doing it right now. It's not bad, but it's just blah. It's not great. But I'm sticking with it because it's Spider-Man. Uncanny X-Force. Bishop's in it.
Who's writing it now?
It's still Humphreys, and I don't like Humphreys as a writer. It's everywhere.
Not Remender.
Well, no, but it's everywhere. The story's just kind of out, and I picked up the newest issue today. I think it's the end of this arc. There might be one more. If I'm not loving it by then, it will be dropped. And then the last thing in my stick pile is Venom. And once again, it's the same reason. I've been loving this book, but I'm sticking with it just because it's being canceled. And I think when you find out a book's being canceled, you don't enjoy it as much. Just because you don't want to allow yourself to.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
And there's a lot of good going on in this. And it's dealing with Maniac and just closing up the end of the story. Books I'm stuck with was a giant list this month. So I'm just going to kind of fly through. All new X-Men special. Special, not numbered. It is a miniseries dealing with the all-new X-Men, Incredible Hulk, and, oh no, what's the last book? I think it's Spider-Man. It's just a superior Spider-Man. Fighting Dr. Octopus. It's in the Continuum. Think about that for a second. There's a lot of time travel going on. It is possible this is real Otto Octavius. There's a possibility it's a clone. All I know is right now, Spider-Man, Otto Octavius.
It's a possibility. It's
checked
Marvel.
Out. Check,
possibility yeah. It's the Doctor.
Well, this is a possibility. This is our little guide into how Peter Parker gets his body back, but whatever. There are lots of reasons to believe it's not Otto, and he has the arms of the real Otto, so very, very good. The Incredible Hulk special is coming up next. I see you. It's coming up next week. I'll let you know. It was a great read.
I give him credit for sticking with that storyline for as long as they have, by the way.
Yeah,
they didn't jump ship.
Like this, all right. This was good because it spent a lot of time dealing with the all-new X-Men, which are the original X-Men, in New York today and how they're dealing with the changes. And it was awesome. Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm stuck with. This actually was just a fight issue. They were fighting Angela, and it was vicious. I had one issue with the book, and it was... there is a small fight with Thanos, and he just got away without a problem. It was weird.
Now, Angela is a character that came with the Neil Gaiman character. Neil Gaiman, from Spawn,
yes,
right?
That is correct. So,
all right.
Neil Gaiman created her?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah.
And he and Todd McFarlane actually duked it out over her for a while.
Regardless, moving on, because I ran really long with my retro of my love.
Yeah, worth it.
Marvel Knights Spider-Man. Marvel Knights Spider-Man, Marvel Knights. It's a crazy brain destroyer. You don't know what's reality. You don't know what's a dream.
I've seen
Peter
this.
Parker.
That good?
Peter Parker, not Otto Octavius. I can't give you a legitimate thing because I don't know what the hell's going on. Issue 2 is coming in, though. I'm excited about it.
Good.
Sex Criminals is a new book for me, guys. Matt Fraction. I saw Fraction's name on the book, and after Hawkeye, I'm like, I have to. And I
Who
grabbed
does
it.
Who does that? What line?
What? He's what publisher?
Is it, oh, yeah, this publisher. Image, I think. Image.
All right.
Really weird book. Girl has orgasms, freezes time. She's trying to save a library. Meets another guy that when he has sex freezes time, and together they are going to try to save a library. Book one was through her perspective. Book two is going to be through his. Very, very cool. Surpriser almost got my pick. Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Holy crap, this is a gem hiding in the Spider-Man Marvel
Lost
universe.
In DC Villains Month is this, Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
It focuses around Boomerang. I've kind of had it in my stick pile recently.
That's Boomerang, not Captain Boomerang.
That is correct.
He's Boomerang. In my picks.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's so good. I had slight flashes that it felt like Hawkeye. That's how good it was.
Mm. Wow.
Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, Miles Morales, being the best Miles Morales that he can. He is now teamed up with Cloak Dagger, Boom Boom, Spider-Girl, amazing stuff. I just can't go any further. If you aren't reading this, I know we're probably getting the last few issues. It's not Spider-Man no more. He has his mask back. Uncanny Avengers is getting really interesting. They're talking about just rapturing all the mutants off the planet.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting. Very cool. Scarlet Witch
would do something like that. All right.
Because of the Apocalypse Twins.
Yeah.
This is so cool. It's Remender, so it's finally hit its run. It took a while, cool. It built up. And that's the problem with Remender cool. is if you aren't everything I've read from Remender, I've started with like a stack versus one at a time. One at a time. It's torture.
That's how you gotta read Remender.
Because it's just like, oh, what the that's hell is this guy doing? Remender. Once you get to the run, it gets good, and that's how I feel about this. I can stack these books. X-Men Battle of the Atom, which is the flagship event. X-Men.
Adjectiveless.
All new X-Men. Uncanny X-Men and Wolverine and the X-Men are all in Battle of the Atom right now. I'm stuck with it. it's an issue because of all the time traveling, and there are X-Men from the future, X-Men from the past, X-Men from the present, and they're all in the same place at the same time. And you can't tell which are the good guys and the bad guys and the blah, 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 and the blah, 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 and the blah, blah. And regardless, there is a new issue out today, and it's going to keep me going. There's been an issue every single week since it started, which has been kind of cool. It's kind of been endless because it's going through all the X titles. And it's promising that I'm going to get some Nightcrawler here soon, because Nightcrawler is going to lead a book.
That's Amazing X-Men.
Amazing X-Men, which starts in November, but I'm just going to say that to the next one. So, awesome. Really confusing, kind of like, meh, at some points, but Jean Grey is back in the future, but it's the past Jean Grey, the one from the past in the future, because she never left the past. What, regardless, it's crazy. I'll get back to that in the near future. Superior Spider-Man, I'm running out of saliva here. Superior Spider-Man is with Spidey 2099, that is Miguel O'Hara in the present, trying to figure out what's going on. Ends up that the guy who's been working for Kingpin, who used to work for Horizon, is actually Miguel's grandfather. And Horizon, which is being taken, Horizon, which is being taken over by a lab, ends up being Chem, which is the people that is making the future terrible in 2099. They actually connected our world to the 2099 world, finally. This does it. Regardless, O'Hara's in the past trying to save his grandpa. He finally figures out what's wrong at the end of the issue. They don't tell us, and Otto punches him out and goes, whoops.
No, I got a win.
Oh, yeah. So good. And then, this was almost my pick of the month, but it had a battle. Six-Gun Gorilla. Simon Spurrier. This book is so different. It's so amazing. Book 5 was supposed to come out today, and I actually threw a fit because it got pushed back a week. I didn't get my issue. Amazing. If you are not reading this, it's hard to find because it's sold out. If you can find issues 1 through 4 before number 5 comes out next week, you should be reading it. It's that good. Now, my pick. What do we got? X-Men Legacy. Which is also a Simon Spurrier book.
Here we go.
This is part 2 of Legion, David Haller's hand-to-hand fight with Scott Summers. Scott Summers beats the shit out of him. Because, no, it makes sense, because David Haller has no hand-to-hand combat, and they both said fucking no mutant powers. I mean, he trained out a fight. Yeah. Of course, David Haller at the end goes, never mind, blasts him. But Scott Summers responds in kind, and the whole thing we've been building up to, the moment of David Haller is supposed to mutate into this giant thing that sucks in all mutants and destroys the world, starts. And the only way that it's supposed to end is if Ruth, blindfold, kills him. We ended with that, but Ruth's brother comes back, who started all this shit to begin with, and stops Ruth from killing him, and that's where it ended. This is so good. If you're not reading X-Men Legacy, you are an idiot. There it is. Yeah, I said it. Get on it. Because it's not a Marvel book. No matter how much it is a Marvel book, it feels so different. It's violent. It's confusing. It's insane. If you have never read anything from Simon Spurrier, that man, there has to be something wrong with him mentally, because he writes like a crazy person, and it's amazing. Check it out. If you can't do X-Men Legacy,
Simon Spurrier actually listens to our podcast, so he'll
so check out check that. Out. He doesn't. I don't think he listens.
Oh,
okay. Check out Six Gun Gorilla. Check aware out.
It's possible.
He knows that it might exist. Check out X-Men Legacy. If you can't, there's a free comic online called Crossed that he writes, which is also insane.
Crossed,
and
is
he's
cool.
Actually starting a book at the end of this month called Disenchanted, which is a fantasy-based weekly free comic online. So check that out. I'm like a salesperson for him. Now, my drop, my sayonara, I am sorry that I stuck around for 14 issues, you piece of garbage, Cable and X-Force. Do you know what was my moment at the end? This is what did it in for me. Hope went into the future to figure out what was going on and who was controlling Cable, grabbed a spear, took it back into the present, stabbed Cable in the head to stop him from going crazy. After all of that, he basically says that you and Havoc were having a boyfriend moment. She's saying this to him, and he was like, what? And she's like, the only thing to stop me is if you buy me ice cream. He's like, Mara, I'll buy you ice cream. And I'm like, done, 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 done. Dropped. So, now that my anger is blasted through the roof, let's hear about Villains Month, Johnny.
Okay, Villains Month. I don't have a stuck stick pick sayonara because most of mine are one-shots. I have got Action Comics 23.1 and 23.2 featuring Cyborg, Superman, and Lex Luthor. I have got Batman 23.1, 23.2, and 23.4 featuring Joker, Riddler, and Bane. I've got Dark Knight, 23.1 and 23.4 featuring the Ventriloquist and Joker's daughter. I've got Batman and Robin, Court of Owls, 23.2. I have got Batman and Superman, 3.1 featuring Doomsday. I've got Constantine, number 7. I have got Detective Comics, number 1. Detective Comics, 23.1. Detective Comics, 23.2. And 23.3, featuring Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, and Scarecrow. I've got Forever Evil, number 1. Forever Evil, number 2. Forever Evil, Arkham War, number 1.
Jeez, man.
Green Arrow, 23.1. Count Vertigo. What is 23.1? I know that number from somewhere. What the hell is 23.1?
It's the villain month issue.
Oh, whatever. All right. Justice League, 23.1, 23.2, 23.3.
Did you buy all of them?
No. I bought over 32, half of them.
Yeah,
yes.
And there's 50.
30. Featuring Darkseid, Lobo, Dial E. I have got Justice League of America, 7.1 and 7.3. Deadshot and Shadow Thief. I have got
Does anyone know when Arkham Origins comes out?
Why would you do that to me? Why would you do that to me?
Keep flipping over every issue. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. That was so funny.
All right.
Well, while you're stopped, you said that you wanted to defend Lobo. Is it because of that?
I will. Just let me list my comics. Justice League Dark, 23.1, 23.2, featuring the Creeper and Eclipso. The Movement, number 5.
That was awesome. That was the best.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Suicide Squad, 24. Superman, 23.1. Bizarro. Superman, Wonder Woman, number 1. Swamp Thing, 23.1, featuring Arcane. Teen Titans, 23.1 and 23.2, featuring Trigon and Deathstroke.
I gotta see Trigon.
We've got Phantom Stranger, number 12, and Wonder Woman, 23.2, featuring Firstborn. All right. These books were fantastic.
Yes. Johnny was texting me, like, random times. Oh, my God.
These are so cool. These are so cool. I was hesitant for Villains Month. I was very much looking forward to it, as anybody here can tell you. But I was hesitant because it looked like a gimmick, and it was, but it was so good.
Every now and then, gimmicks work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have
it was
one
so good
that you would like to?
Yes.
And it's the one I thought it would be, the Joker.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. But first, I want to address Lobo. I want to address Lobo.
Okay, okay.
Because Lobo has been getting a lot of shit.
Because he got rejected from Kiss.
Because he got what?
Got rejected from Apple, man, too.
No, 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 no. Because he got a new look. He got
really?
Yeah. You know, I saw
he
a
got
picture
a new
of that.
Look. He is no longer bulky. He now wears lipstick. And he is...
So that's not the new look.
No, that is the new look.
He looks the same.
He doesn't look that different.
Yeah.
Well, look through the pages. He's much more streamlined.
That?
Yes.
That's Lobo?
That's Lobo.
What?
Yes, that's Lobo.
No, it's not.
It looks like an emo vampire.
Indeed, that's what everybody's saying. That is what everybody's saying.
See now?
Wow.
Aquaman wouldn't even waste his time with Lobo. Like, listen, son, you're going to just walk away because you look like an emo vampire.
There it is. You glitter in the sunlight.
That's Lobo.
The complaint. That has been the major complaint. Is him, and they talked to Keith Griffin, the inventor of Lobo, the creator of Lobo. And Keith Griffin said, it's cool.
I think it's false advertising that it looks like himself on the cover, and then you get...
Oh, it absolutely is.
A little fairy boy inside.
Oh, it absolutely is. But if you read this issue, it's actually very well written, and it's very Lobo-esque.
Okay, fair enough.
But yes, they've been getting a lot of crap, and Keith Griffin has come out and said, I've done what I want to do with Lobo. I was made as a joke. Lobo was a joke.
He's definitely a joke now.
Yeah.
No, he created Lobo. Lobo was created as a parody of everything the 90s comics were.
Yes.
And so he doesn't really care. This character wasn't even supposed to take off.
Well, there are a lot of fanboys who do.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But no, this new Lobo is a shiny vampire.
There it is.
And it's cute. It's really cute. That's all I can say. My pick of the month is Batman 23.1. That number has been somewhere before, but I don't know where. Batman, number one, 23.1.
There it is.
Joker.
Johnny, did you watch Smallville?
That's where it is.
33.1.
Is it 33.1? Yeah. All right. I knew it was decent. All right. But The Joker by Andy Kubert with art by Andy Clark. This book is amazing. Oh my God. We get a glimpse into Joker's childhood. We have never had a glimpse into Joker's childhood, I don't believe.
But it doesn't matter. It's the new 52.
Shut up. No, it's amazing. His relationship with Jack and Apes. You guys remember Jack and Apes?
No, the monkey
that he adopted?
Oh, yeah.
This is his relationship with Jack and Apes. It's brilliant. It is mind-blowingly brilliant. If you have $75, go on eBay and buy this book because it's amazing.
It's worth that much 75? Already?
I don't know if it's that much. That worth that much. It was worth $30 last I checked, and that was a couple weeks ago. Jeez. But that is my pile.
That is impressive. I have not seen that in a long... Because those are only single issues. Did you pick up anything else this past month?
Nope.
Oh, okay. So I'm like, this isn't it. This is just the single issues that I made through.
No, this is everything that I bought this month.
So it makes me feel better. I spent as much as you. It's just that these are singles.
Well, thank you.
All right.
But I am now single, ladies and gentlemen. I am now a single issue. No, that is a joke. Anyway, Darren, it is up to you.
Staying with The Shadow Year One, it's as good as The Shadow's been. Surprisingly good. Battlestar Galactica, sticking with it. It's okay. Downgrading Superman Unchained to sticking with it because... You know,
Scott Snyder.
It's good. I'm waiting for it to get really good.
There it is.
From the pile of things that can only happen in comics, DC versus the Masters of the Universe.
That looks really good.
It's you know what? It's too early to tell because they did a lot of exposition, a lot of, we got to figure out how we're going to get these two in the same universe at the same time. Masters of the Universe number 5 continues to be okay. I will never buy into it full bore. When Johnny and I first started hanging out, I told him I have how Masters of the Universe should be done. I don't want to give it away in a podcast for the slim margin of hope that someday I will be given the keys to the Kingdom of Eternia. Star Wars, the eponymously titled Star Wars. You know what? It's going to be, Star Wars is going to get real huge again real fast. Mm-hmm. And this was started in last January, which I was really looking forward to. About the original trilogy cast. It's the only time we've really visited them for a very long time before episode 1. So it's been fun. It's not great. It's a stick with. Sticking with Batman Zero Year. Very well told. Bit uneven at times, but still, Snyder and Capullo. Perhaps the top duo in comics right now. At least in the conversation. Sticking with East of West. It's getting very violent.
Sorry to stop you. Do you have all of that?
East of West?
Yeah.
I'm up to 6.
Okay, one guy told me that it was like crazy, like 6 on Gorilla, so I wanted to read it.
Yeah, I've got it. I'll let you have it.
All right, thank you.
Sticking with The Massive. Keeps getting rumored that The Massive's going to go away, that it's being canceled. It's very engaging. I don't know if it just quite hasn't hit that first 50 issues of The Walking Dead kind of like and absorbing. But what is getting close is Scott Snyder
The Wake.
There it is.
It's a mini series.
It's really cool.
It's very, very cool. So I am stuck on The Wake. Downgrading from my pick of the month to stuck, Batman 66. It's just flat out great fun. And now, my pick of the month is... I mean, come on, look at that.
That looks silly.
That is cool.
By the way, I discovered Lookwell. Do you guys know what Lookwell is?
No.
I have to tell you this before I get to my pick of the month while I'm on Batman 66. Okay, so Conan O'Brien and Robert Smigel wrote a pilot television show for NBC. I had heard about this in passing. It is essentially about a a television actor in the 70s who played a detective named Bannigan. And he was really hot in the 70s to the point where he was ceremonially deputized by the LA Police Department. The show goes off the air. He kind of goes into washed up actor phase, holds his own acting classes. But since he played a television detective, he thinks he can solve crimes in real life.
Oh, man.
Bannigan, the actor, the character's name was Ty Lookwell, the actor, Bannigan being the character he played on TV. Ty Lookwell was played by Adam West.
Of course.
If you YouTube Lookwell, it's from 1991. They only made one episode. It is like the framework for all the really high concept Arrested Development, Louis, Curb Your Enthusiasm. This thing nails it. You have to YouTube look well. But anyway, building off of that to something completely different, and from the same file of this could only happen in comic books, which is why I dumped my DC New 52 a year ago and decided to go elsewhere. The Star Wars. Do you know what this is?
No.
Star Wars is based on George Lucas's original rough draft screenplay.
Oh, I have heard of that.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Is it?
Yeah. Luke Skywalker is probably in his mid-50s, and he's a general in this case. We have not yet met Han Solo. Princess Leia is much younger. Darth Vader is much more human in this. They talk about the Jedi Bandu and the Knights of the Sith, and the Empire Star Destroyers are actually one-man fighters. So it's a little... They draw you in with that really cool. You're like, oh, there's a Star Destroyer, but then you see it's just one guy in a ship in a small, like, X-Wing fighter type thing. Very cool. I was, like, a little bit leery, but I'm like, how do you not want to check this out? I mean, we've all been down the Star Wars road.
We've all pretended
to be Luke Skywalker. But this is something we've always heard the rumors of. Oh, it was supposed to be this. We've seen the concept art from Ralph McQuarrie. And now we get it. Star Wars number one, my pick of the month. It's very good. It's very interesting. I am really excited to see where this thing goes.
And with that, I mean, I just have nothing else this week. I'm so burnt out. It's been a long week. Lots and lots and lots of comics. And there's so much more to come. I'm so excited to see the end of Infinity. I'm excited to see the end of the Battle of the Atom. And I will keep everyone as updated as I can on Marvel Now Phase 2. Is there anything cool with you, Darren?
That's all I got.
All right, so that wraps this up with the panel scanners. I'm Johnny Caps. Keep reading comics.
Life is a great big day. Wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find a Spider-Man.